Hello and welcome to another episode of Casting Reflections on Black Mirror, the podcast that takes an episode of Black Mirror and, as it says, cast reflections. Your hosts, as always, are me, Dan.
And me, Dan.
Hiya, Dan. We are rapidly approaching the end of this now. So we are currently reviewing Series 6, Episode 4, which means there's actually only one episode left plus Bandersnatch. So yeah, it's almost the end of an era for this.
Until next season.
We were talking about this literally just before we pressed record about this episode. And when I've been talking about it in the Podpack group, this episode raised quite a reaction. You were just saying, I think we could say that you're still undecided on this episode.
Yeah, and obviously we'll delve into this a bit more detail, but I felt like it had a great build up, a great story, and then it got ridiculous and left me feeling annoyed at the end of it. But I don't know how we could have done it any differently, but yeah.
Whereas, do you know what? I'm almost the reverse of you. I really liked the last third.
Oh, no, you're so wrong.
Anyway, yeah, we'll go into it. But randomly, today I went to London and saw an exhibition called Spies, Lies and Deception. And it was all about during the World War. Well, it's talking about during the World Wars, but also in modern day, how armies and spies used deception and techniques to trick the enemy. And I was thinking, you know, even in that day and age, without the technology, it was almost as effective to be able to bend people or trick people into doing things. And I'm just thinking in, you know, sort of coming back to record an episode of Black Mirror, which, not this one as specifically, but is all about how technology controls us. It's just amazing how, I think it's just, obviously it's us humans that are the weak point, right?
Yeah.
I think where I'm trying to come at, a really long way, has this series disappointed you in the sense of this season, that is, that there's not that much tech involved in it?
No, I don't think that it's the tech bit that really makes it for me. I think it's the twists and the you know, the stories for it. And maybe apart from the first episode with Salma Hayek and Joan is awful.
Yeah.
I feel that like the stories this series have been a little bit wanting.
Yeah. The endings is the end. We'll come back to that, but it's always the ending, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always the ending.
Yeah. So, yeah, spoilers for Black Mirror Season 6, Episode 4, Maisie Day, aired with the rest of the season on 15th of June 2023. The shortest episode of Black Mirror at 40 minutes. So some people might think that's a good thing for this one. Starring Zazie Beetz as Bo, Clara Rugard as Maisie Day, and Danny Ramirez as Hector. I think I'll only call those out.
Bo being the photographer, yeah?
Yeah.
We usually do this thing, if anyone listening is, but I don't write down the names as I write notes. And usually during our small talk before the episode, you tell me what all characters' names are. And I realised we didn't do that today. So I'm just making notes of it now. So Bo and Hector were the two.
Bo and Hector are the two main. Then you've got Witty and Duke as well, were the other main. We'll clarify as we go along. But the only other thing I wanted to call out, one of the best things of this episode was they played quite a bit Supermassive Black Hole by Muse, which I think is just such a great tune.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just had to call that out. But yeah, over to you for the recap.
Yes. Okay, so we start off with Bo taking some pictures. She's obviously a bit of a photographer trying to catch a celebrity out, and she manages to get the pictures of some guy, which is showing him to have a gay relationship or a gay fling with someone, and the celebrity offers to buy the pictures off her, which she kind of runs off, and then she goes to sell her pictures to the press and makes a little bit of money from it. It then kind of goes on to when she kind of cuts into where she lives and her house. And she obviously lives with a landlord who's obviously they obviously have a bit of a troubled relationship, don't they, her and the landlord. And the landlord obviously wanted money that she doesn't have. She's not allowed to cook. I don't know how important that is for the story, but I thought I'd mention it. And as they're kind of going through that, then she sees a news report from which the guy that she's caught out, the celebrity that she's caught out and taken pictures of, has died, and she naturally blames herself because it's her photos which revealed the truth and kind of led to his death. So she feels bad. She then goes to take some more pictures of another celebrity. There was a group of them, wasn't there? There was all four of them, yeah. Hector, Beau, and the other two that you mentioned, all taking pictures. And I think she kind of takes a step back when she kind of watches her colleagues kind of try and rile up the celebrities to try and get a reaction so they can take a picture of it. And she kind of takes a step back and looks at it and goes, actually, this is a bit crap, isn't it? This is not nice what we're doing.
It got really nasty really quickly with her, didn't it? So it was a female. She got out the car and they're taking a picture. She's walking away. And then one of them, I think it's Witty, I think, calls out the fact that she did a sex tape and then calls her quite a nasty name. And then it gets really ugly, doesn't it?
Yeah, not very nice. And I reckon that's what it's really like, you know. I reckon that's what the paparazzi can be like. I reckon it's disgusting what they do just to get that picture they can sell. So Beau kind of takes a step back and kind of sees it in a different light. And then we kind of cut to the Czech Republic, where we're now on a set of a film where Maisie Day, not Maisie Gray, which I hadn't heard. Maisie Day is acting on a film. She looks like she's the main part of, well, I think it might even, I'm not sure if it's a film, whether it's a series, but she's on a set, film, looks to be the main character. As the guy wraps up for day and calls cut and sends everyone back, Maisie gets a package or a gift from one of the girls on set, which turns out to be some, which I'm assuming looks like magic mushrooms.
Yeah.
She then goes back to her room or her trailer and starts having. She's obviously gets herself very high. She cuts herself on some broken glass and she drives to get medical help. However, she is in no state to be driving. I think that's quite clear with how hazy her vision is. As she's driving, she hits something and it quickly transpires to be a person that she has killed. And I think the next day, her and her driver kind of go under the same bridge, don't they? And she kind of finds out, or her driver finds out from the police, they found a man's body there and it looks like a hit and run.
Yeah. And sorry, no, and something that I didn't notice on the first viewing, because I watched it twice, was, yeah, like you said, she hits something. And then I think you see her getting out, and then it cuts to the next day where, yes, they're trying to drive under that. And they said, no, you've got to go around. There's a man there. And she goes, a man. And he goes, yes. And then I just thought it's like, because obviously she's now realised that she has killed someone.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Now,
there's a subtle little thing there.
Now I think back on it retrospectively, that was obviously quite a key point when she realises it was a man.
But it was only funny enough when you were saying it then that it kind of triggered in my head. Yeah.
Because I noticed her get a shock when she said a man, but I just assumed it made it more real for her because it...
Exactly.
Yeah, but it
Well, I... I'll tell you why I thought it was. I thought she just drove off because the first time I was watching, I wasn't paying attention. So I thought she drove off wanting to not think that she'd done anything.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, when the policeman or whatever said, no, we found the body of a man. Yeah, absolutely. I thought, oh, it's just made it real. Yeah. But yeah, we'll come back to
what we're saying. I think that's obviously what they wanted you to think. That's how I think they did that purposely to kind of get that.
Yeah. And it was well done, I think, that bit, in that sense.
Yeah, it was well done. Now we kind of cut back to a news report and this Maisie has now gone missing. She's kind of walked off set and hasn't finished production of her show, and it's quite clear that she's now out of the public eye and no one knows where she is.
Flown back to America though is the key thing there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't quite grab it. Which makes sense because they're not running around the Czech Republic, so okay. then it cuts back to the two housemates, well, say the two housemates, her and Beau and her landlord. She's obviously short of money and has been kind of taken her landlord's food, which he, it's quite funny the way he prepped, like he wanted to give her a big speech, didn't he? And he put it all on cue cards. I thought that bit made me laugh.
Yeah, I've made a note because it's brilliant because he says, because she's obviously left her pap job. Well, that becomes clear later, but she owes him rent. And he says something like, I'm not very good at confrontation, so I've prepared a number of cue cards. And it starts off with him trying to rearrange them in order. And I just thought it's perfect because it's just so, you know, if you're not comfortable with confrontation. It's the sort of thing you would do, like go through a speech or a script, and I just thought that scene was brilliant, as in it was quite good fun.
Yeah, well, next time you have a serious discussion, maybe try that technique and let me know how you get on. But it obviously it was a big deal to him, because he also mentioned that he'd been speaking to his counsellor about it, or his therapist about it. So he was obviously worried about this confrontation, and she just said that she was going to go and get the money. But the whole scene is there to show that she is wanting money to live.
Yeah.
And she's currently working in a coffee place and has retired from photography. But Hector finds her and kind of says he's not trying to talk her back into getting into the job, but then ends up talking her back into the job as they kind of talk about Maisie Day and saying that there's a big reward for a picture of her, especially if it's a picture of her wasted, which I thought was, again, just how paparazzi work, isn't it? It's like, if you get a normal picture of her, it's this much, but if you get her absolutely wasted and looking like crap, it's even more.
So this is what it was. Yeah, it was she's gone missing after coming home, and there's an offer of $30,000 for the first picture of her, 40 if you can get her looking like a junkie, which is just incredible.
Yeah.
And I'll come on to that in some of my thoughts, but I absolutely believe that.
Without a doubt. So when she hears about the money, she obviously gets tempted and starts thinking about it, and she just needs a payday, doesn't she? And then she rings up a contact who I think she said just before that, but she deleted the number off her phone, but she obviously got in touch with a contact to try and find out if she can get in on this. Then it kind of goes to her doing a bit of detective work to work out where Maisie Day is staying. And I thought it was quite clever, the things she did, didn't she? So she was it cut to Maisie staying in someone's mansion, getting like an Uber Eats type delivery. And then it shows Bo reading a magazine, and in the magazine it states that Maisie always needs a takeaway from this place. So then she goes and hangs around at the takeaway and gets the information of where she's staying, which I thought was quite clever. So she's now hanging around outside this mansion where Maisie is staying and getting ready to kind of take a phone. And she's obviously there long term, because at one point she falls asleep. But she's obviously there waiting to just get a glimpse of Maisie. And I always wonder, like, with shots like this, like, if you're going to grab someone at the home, it can only be like a glimpse of someone, can't it? Like, that's all she's after, is a glimpse of a person to take a photo of.
Yeah, she just wants that one photo, whatever it is, and that's that 30 grand then, yeah.
Then we kind of go back into Maisie's house, where she, it's quite clear that she's having trouble sleeping or getting through the night. But at this point, we assume it's nightmares, which is why she's having trouble sleeping. And then it kind of shows her in a room which has been completely destroyed. So it looks like Maisie's just like lost it and kind of like destroyed the room.
Yeah.
And at that point, they call in the doctor stroke therapist, and the therapist comes in, and the therapist comes in and makes a point when she says, can you cure me or can you make me better? He didn't say yes to that, did he? He just kind of implied, well, we're going to get you through tonight, then we're going to get you through tomorrow night, and then the night after that.
Yeah, and even though that was, sorry, I was going to say, even though it's just like one line there, that felt quite powerful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To someone like that, saying it's about getting you through the first night and then we'll see about tomorrow night.
Yeah. And at this point, Maisie gets in a car with the doctor and probably her security, who then drive off, and Bo follows her, but like obviously follows her, like not to the point where her car's hanging back. She looks like she's about 20 yards from this car non-stop. All the way around. Even going around the mountains when there's no other road, no other cars on the road.
That's what I was going to say. There's no...
useless follower. She shouldn't do that again. But then Maisie's car pulls into a diner. So Bo just pulls into the diner straight away.
But she didn't go in. At least she didn't. She covered that. She didn't go straight in.
But... but probably made it even more obvious by doing a U-turn and coming back in afterwards. So then they go into the diner car park, and at this point, one of Maisie's security guards comes over and slashes all of Bo's tyres, leaving her unable to drive, and then they drive off. Bo now goes into the diner, but she gets talking to the guy behind the counter, and I didn't really understand the flow of this conversation when it happened, because she was kind of like, is there any kind of places to crash around here which are within walking distance. And he goes, there's a really like swanky rehab center up the road. Like, I don't know how that's ever the answer to the question that she's asking, but it's the answer that she wants, because then that kind of leads on to
this. It's a really clunky way of making her realise, yeah, because you say, no, there's nothing around, just the rehab place, you know, but it's really nice. And yeah, it's like you said, it's just a clunky way of getting the story progressing, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's exactly the information she needs, because then he kind of carries on talking about it. And he was like, well, everyone's moved out of the rehab centre this week. I've told all the staff to go home. Someone famous, rich and famous, has booked out the entire complex.
Just to make it even more obvious.
To make it even more obvious as a celebrity. So then Bo gets all excited and she rings Hector. And Hector comes round on a bike and then travel up to the rehab centre, which is a big, massive, walled-off building. So they're kind of hanging around outside trying to work out how to get in. And this is where their two colleagues show up, because they have put a tracker on Hector's bike.
Which is unbelievable, really, isn't it? I mean, they're the two, you know, if we're saying villains of the piece, they're the two overly, what's the word, like villainous paparazzi, aren't they, of the group.
To me, they felt like, I don't know why this came to mind, but I felt like the Scooby-Doo type bad guys. You know,
I was thinking Scooby-Doo.
The two useless ones that turn up that try to be bad guys, but are actually useless. But in fact, actually did something quite clever to find it.
Yeah.
So anyway, now the four of them are hanging around outside this rehab centre. They realise they can't go over the wall, so they then begin to dig a hole underneath one of the walls, go in. And they can, when they get in and they're kind of wandering around and it's dark now, they see the security guard that slashed Bo's tyres earlier. So they know that Maisie is in there, in the centre somewhere. So they kind of sneak around. They then head towards the building where they believe Maisie is. And they catch a glimpse of Maisie through a crack, I guess, or through a window. And they see that Maisie's actually shackled up and kind of been restrained and kind of left by herself in this dark room. So Bo is like, well, we have to help her. But, you know, it's illegal what they're doing. We're going to have to go in and help her. And the bit that made me like think, God, this is sick, is when they kind of go in and Bo's obviously cared about Maisie's well-being. But the others just want to take photographs. And you can just see like flashes all around everywhere where we're trying to take these photographs, because, you know, and you notice from this point onwards, that camera becomes really valuable property that they kind of pass around, don't they? Because it's now worth a lot of money with the photos that are on it.
Well, even before they actually break in and she sees the chain around the men like Duke and Wheatley, they're just taking pictures through the window and she, like, whereas she's expressing concern and what they're gonna do, they're just taking pictures.
As Bo is trying to free her, Maisie's trying to kind of almost warn them, saying, you need to go, you need to leave me alone, you need to go away type thing. And then Maisie looks up at the moon, and this is where the twist happens, because then it's quite clear that Maisie now is beginning to transform into some form of werewolf. Or not some form, but is a werewolf who then attacks. Still, the camera flashes are going off, by the way, at this point.
Yes, it is.
Not, you know, we're not fearing for our lives at this point. It's more valuable that we get this photo. So, yeah, so they try to escape. The two Scooby-Doo villains don't, do they? They kind of get killed while they're trying to escape. And I thought it was quite interesting, because when one of them was clearly about to die, Hector just went and took his camera. Like, what wasn't shown any well-being, like any care for the guy's well-being who's now in pain and discomfort. He just wanted the camera.
Yeah, if anything, so I think, I can't remember, I think it's Duke. He was a larger chap, wasn't he? And had to crawl under a fence or like a wooden wall. And he got stuck. And you could hear the werewolf in the background. And yeah, Hector runs back and he's going, help me, help me. And he's actually, I think, hitting his hand, isn't he, to actually make him let go of the camera, because as you said, the camera is really valuable property now.
Yeah, it's obviously, and I think that kind of is a message that kind of transpires in this episode, isn't it, is that those photos are priceless and they're trying to protect them almost like they're a child or a kid. Anyway, so Hector and Bo run back to the diner, they get out of the complex, get back on the bike, and they get down to the diner. They run into the diner where there's now a police officer having food in there, and they barricade themselves in.
Sorry, just to stop you there as well. I love this scene as well, because before it gets to there, because it's a diner in the middle of nowhere, isn't it? And it's just this policeman, and they're making it out to be like one of these proper out in the sticks policemen, because he's talking about chicken, isn't he? I think he's talking about fried chicken with that young lad behind the thing. And it just, knowing what's going on, like they're being killed, the paparazzi being killed by whales. And he's just talking about, you know, you've got to cook chicken right, because if you do it too much, you'll get dry. Yeah. And it just felt like a really funny break in pace.
Yeah, agreed. It's it's pretty funny. And then the barricade in, they try to talk to the police officer and try and get him to call for help, which I thought is kind of quite funny because he is for help. But obviously Bo didn't see him as that and said, you've got to get help. And then she tries to pinch his gun. Yeah. And he obviously thinks that she's crazy because she's obviously coming off as a bit crazy. And then the werewolf gets in and starts attacking everyone in the diner. I still notice some camera flashes going off. Like this is still happening. Then as the werewolf, I think the werewolf attacks Hector, doesn't he? Doesn't she, I guess? And then kind of leaves him for dead pretty much because there's just so much blood coming out. And as the werewolf goes to attack Bo picks up a gun and shoots. And then there's a few moments where kind of everyone's kind of letting the dust settle. And as she stands down and looks at the werewolf is now dying, but is now transformed back into Maisie. And Maisie's saying, please kill me. Please put an end to this type thing. And rather than Bo doing it herself, she passes the gun to Maisie, who then... Just before this bit happened, actually, there was another handing over of the camera as Hector, as he's dying, gives the camera to Bo. Maisie then gives a gun to Maisie. Maisie shoots herself, and there's one last flash as Bo is taking a picture as this happens.
And yeah, it's from outside, and you hear the gunshot as well, don't you?
Yes. And then it kind of finishes there. So actually, that point, that's probably the first photo that Bo's probably taken all night of the event, isn't it? There's probably
the worst one.
The worst one, yeah. So she's been so good so far about like showing empathy and sympathy and caring and stuff like that. But just as someone's about, as a celebrity's about to shoot herself, she thought it was an opportune moment to take a picture.
I had a couple of things before we go to thoughts that I was just going to call out. So at the start, what was interesting was there's a news story on the radio that talks about Tom Cruise's daughter being born. So we now know roughly what time of or what year it is. And it also, I think it mentions an iPod and the Iraq War. So I think that's the early 2000s. There's constant thing about, it feels like animals in there, isn't there? So, I mean, there's the obvious one, but about the wealth. But at the start, when she's taking pictures of that bloke having the affair, he comes out and calls her an animal, doesn't he? You know, he goes, you're killing me. You're an animal. And I also picked up, she only got $300 for that picture, which ultimately ended someone's life.
And he would have paid more as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I thought was quite, why she didn't take that option, but.
Yeah. On the news report that reports his death, we find out he was an actor in The Sea of Tranquility, which I picked up.
Yeah.
And the only other two things I've got, there's Paris Hilton vibes with that female celebrity that they were, you know, going for. And in that scene, they kind of look like hyenas. But I guess the one thing, did we cover that? The reason why Maisie was a werewolf was because the person she hit was a werewolf.
We didn't say that. So, yeah, partway through there, when we discover that she's a werewolf, it kind of flashes back to the car crash, not car crash, the hit and run, which we thought was a hit and run. But does it show her getting bitten or something along those lines?
Kind of. I think it shows her going up to the body, which then looks like a dog or a wolf. And as she's going up to it, it just turns to her and rears its teeth. So I don't think we actually saw her get bit. But yeah, so that's what I was saying earlier, where it was quite interesting then when you go back and watch it again, when she says, oh, it was a man. So yeah, I've got a lot of things here I've written as thoughts, but what are your views on this episode then?
I like the premise of doing an episode about the paparazzi, because I think that's quite interesting and how they behave and getting photos. I thought the werewolf thing was ridiculous. I loved it. I know it's hard to sit here because we've been, you know, doing Black Mirror and saying it's too unrealistic. That felt too unrealistic to me. Like, I stopped taking it seriously. It just felt like a really good build up, and then they ruined it by putting something ridiculous in there.
If we address that bit first, I get it. At first, I thought, oh my word, where's this going? Because, like you, it was a great, you know, could have done a lot about the paparazzi and that. But then, if we look back at Hated in a Nation, that felt like a similar thing. But then when I was looking at it, I loved the fact that it was a werewolf thing. I actually wish it was a better story around that. But I think the problem is there were two elements mashed together. So the first two thirds feels like you were saying, a good story about the press and how the paparazzi go after people. And then it turns into this werewolf thing. So it just feels like two... It's like, oh, we've got a good episode here. We've got a good episode here. Let's just mash them together.
Yeah. It felt like...
But I think I prefer the last third with about the werewolf. I thought that was... I like it.
It felt like, I don't know, it's kind of like one of those party games or one of those word games where you get someone to kind of write a line, and then someone has to write the next line, and then you can't see the line above. And it felt like someone's done that. It felt like someone wrote half a story and then kind of said, right, in half a story, you end up in a house and this woman shackled up. And then someone else has taken over, not knowing what the first half was, and just run with it. And that's what it feels like. It's two distinctive stories.
Remember that episode of Friends where Rachel makes a trifle, but it's got meat in it because her cookbook...
It's exactly that, isn't it? It's just...
Do you know what I think the problem is with this? I think this episode, and I'm going to go against what I normally say, probably could have been longer. I think they... probably could have made this an extra 40 minutes, make it like an hour 20 minutes, because I feel the bit with the paparazzi was too clunky. I think they made them so over the top villainous, you know, especially those two men, especially like that bit with that female celeb. I know, like you said, it probably does happen, and it does, but it just felt we've got to show these two men as really evil, nasty, they'll do anything it takes.
They could have really explored that part, because it is a really interesting story, isn't it, with the paparazzi, and you kind of explored it from their side, and then how they appear on the surface and what happens to those pictures. And I just think there's a good story in there, and they've kind of taken the heading and just worked with the heading.
But that's it. But I think then still go into the werewolf bit, but maybe make that last a bit longer, so it's then the roles are reversed, so the paparazzi are the ones being hunted down. Because do you remember the guy at the start calls her an animal, and it's like, well, they've literally almost turned the person they're after into an animal. I know they didn't, but you could argue maybe she only got into that car accident because she was so enclosed in her fame or whatever. So I just think maybe make the episode longer and make it a bit more of a believable story with the paparazzi element. That's my view. Because like I said, I loved the fact it went so out there with the werewolf element, but it then just felt like two mashed up bits and neither of them were fully fleshed out enough.
Yeah, I agree.
Very superficial. A couple of things I'll throw at you as well. I didn't necessarily think of this, but I did see it when I looked up at this episode. People were comparing it to a heist movie where they take on one last heist. And I like that description, you know, because she was in retirement technically, wasn't she?
Yes.
And like he comes to her, and it's like them, it's almost like Ocean's 11 in that way, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I would have picked up on that.
I've got things out of order here. The other funny thing is in this episode, again, you know, if we're talking about reality in Black Mirror, but when she changed, and like you said, they were Maisie changed and they kept taking the pictures, there was no like shock or horror that she turned into a werewolf. They're like, oh, just carry on taking pictures.
Yeah, it's an everyday thing. Like it.
Yeah.
It's just accepted.
And again, that kind of just is a jarring thing. All right, let's talk about the actual ending. I got annoyed with that because I didn't like the fact that Bo took the picture of her dying.
No.
Because that kind of went against everything we were learning about her.
Yeah, because, you know, she was feeling bad and she didn't need to do that. It wouldn't have taken anything off the program, her not doing that and just like... Oh, because she had enough photos anyway. Like she's going to make a fortune.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or you kill her, and you have one of the others survive. maybe Hector does it, because we know they've got less morals.
Would have been better if she destroyed the camera. That would have been a better ending.
Yeah. Yeah, that felt wrong because, you know, they all got their comeuppance and you're kind of cheering that element. Yeah. But then she's done that. And I can't remember if I've imagined this or if it happened, but it was quite clever where I think was Maisie saying, like, kill me, she goes, shoot me, shoot me. And then Bo takes a picture of her, which is, you know, we say that is a shoot. So I don't know if that was supposed to be a bit symbolic of that age where, you know, she was crying out for help, but then she took a photo of her, which is a shot as well. So
maybe. I don't, but thing is, it's not like Maisie would know that Bo was really in money troubles, was it? It's not like...
No, as in Maisie wanted her to shoot her with the gun.
Yeah.
But she takes a photo of her, which is another shot. Like, we get that joke, you know, or that saying, isn't it? You know, only shoot your camera for hunters, etc. So I like that kind of play on words there at the end. Again, obviously about the paparazzi, the fact that, but even her as well, the fact that they chased into a wellness retreat. She's in rehab.
Yeah.
And they've actually broken in. Get it. And we do see it all the time, don't we? We do the news stories about celebrity X is in rehab or celebrity Y is just come out of rehab. Why do we need to know that?
It's disgusting, isn't it? It's I don't like it. It's such an invasion. Imagine being that famous and just having every single bit of privacy just photographed like that. And I don't know if you, obviously with the royal family, it's quite a big thing, isn't it? But there's that Meghan and Harry documentary that happened, and they were talking about it, and when they got discovered as being in America, you'd had like these people just appearing like everywhere just trying to get a photo of them, and it just doesn't look nice.
It's and I've often thought about this. It's like, you know, would you want to be famous as in like an actor? And I'm thinking like, yeah, but then your life isn't your own then, it feels like, at that point. You are then at the mercy of marketing and agents, and you know, you have to give them this photo shot. And then we see it all the time, don't we? Like, oh, so and so spotted jogging down the beach. Well, you know, that's a set up photo shoot. But then you do get the things like we've seen it here. I mean, might not be a name familiar to many people out there, you know, as sort of an, or not football fans anyway, but like Paul Gascoigne, do you remember what he went through? And then there were always pictures. It was like, can we get a picture of him looking really ill?
Yeah.
And put it in. But the problem is it sells papers and people then buy it, which makes them want to get those pictures even more.
Do you reckon it's worse in Britain than it is outside?
I reckon it's probably the same everywhere.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
And it must have got so much worse as well, because not only do you have the paparazzi, but now you have social media, and now you have anyone can take a photo and put it online and it's there. And just these, you know, these famous... Yeah, obviously probably has some perks to being famous, but to have all your privacy, it's like, you know, we all have jobs, but it's 9 till 5 and then we switch off. They don't get the switching off bit. They do their job and then they have to be on high alert that someone's not, you know, at the end of the drive or...
I'm laughing because you talk about comparing it to like your job. It would be like if you're out and then your manager spots you in the street and asks you to do some work there and then or something, isn't it? I mean, it's like I get it. There's the fame element. And I'm not talking about fans. If fans want to approach someone and do that, then that's different. But the paparazzi taking pictures of so-and-so, I don't know, let's say Jennifer Lopez buying groceries or Tom Cruise has bought a scratch card from the news agent. Why do we need to see that? We see, you know, we see them on TV. We see them in films all the time. And it's, but then the public feed into that by wanting to see that and clicking on those articles and buying those papers. It's I just don't get it. And like you said, with social media, it's even worse. And the thing about rehab, like, you know, people have issues, people have demons, but we've seen recently there's a few documentaries come out about some of the scandals that's happened in both the music world and in the entertainment world, which has probably left a mark on some people. And so they are getting demons from maybe how they've been treated in the past. They're going to rehab. And while they're doing all that and having to battle those, they've got to worry about, is there someone trying to take a picture of me coming out of rehab and looking rough? And I think that, you know, that's maybe where this episode could have delved a bit deeper into that aspect of it.
Do you know, and obviously we've had it recently, haven't we, with Princess Kate, who's obviously been out of the spotlight for a little while, and everyone was talking about, you know, her absence became a news story. And it got to the point where she's come out and said that actually I'm actually quite ill. She only had to say that because the media were kind of getting on her back. And again, it's just like, respect the privacy of some of these, you know, these people. It's, you know, they are human.
We just live in a day and age now where everything is on hand and we want to know everything about everyone.
Yeah.
I get it. If we go back to this episode, a celebrity has gone off grid.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
And that's exactly the same, Mike, because then they come and go, actually, pictures for this person are quite high because they've gone off the grid. And that's exactly what we've just seen, isn't it?
In the episode, it's the element of, like we addressed, we'll pay you this much, but if you get a compromising picture, we'll pay you even more.
Yeah. Do you know what's quite funny? Just before we go back to the stories, you can actually hire a paparazzi to like go out to someone's house. So if I wanted to like play a prank on you, I could go to this company and like hire a paparazzi. So when you kind of came out, they'd all like take photos of you and try and get an interview.
I hear it. Hear it, casting views are always battling. Always battling.
I'm sure that's the case.
I can't talk about the disguises I have to wear, but it's a problem, and I feel like Charlie Brooker has based this on me. But and we've seen on social media people who trick others by having bodyguards or fake bodyguards around them to try trick people into thinking they're celebrities. I don't know. Like I said, I agree with you. I'm not saying this is a great episode, but what I'm saying is I loved the final part of it. I just think there's two good stories that could be told there, but both weren't fully expanded upon.
What could, again, I love to suggest in a better ending, but what would have been better, I felt, and which would have sewn the stories together a bit more, is if Bo had kind of discovered by herself what was happening, and they kind of formed some sort of friendship to the point where she kind of gave up on the photos because she realised what was happening, and was trying to help her through it. And then the other three kind of come in trying to take the photos and Bo's trying to stop it. I think that would have been, that would have felt a bit better. And I think they could have explored that for like another 40 or so minutes.
I think best way probably to have ended it, if you've got the paparazzi element, is I almost think that in the diner, maybe there should have been someone outside taking pictures of them being picked off and them all dying, including Bo, and then the pictures in the paper of the paparazzi themselves being murdered by the werewolf. Do you see what I mean? So the big money shot, as it were, is of themselves being killed by the thing, the person they were after.
Yeah, I think your ending's a little bit more sadistic than mine. I wasn't suggesting anyone died. Everyone survived in my ending.
There was only one other thing I wanted to pick up, and again, I only thought about it because you said something that made it click, where you were saying about they were just kept on taking pictures even as the werewolf was attacking. But we see it all the time now, and I think, I'm not sure if it was you that said it in an episode, but we see people now, personal safety goes out the window when they're trying to film something to go viral.
Yeah.
Did we say something about there was a fire or there was it looked like there was an explosion in a factory or something recently, and people were running towards it trying to take film footage of it.
I can't remember why or how or in what format we were discussing it, whether it was just a general chat or whether it was on a podcast, but I do think that if a massive like big red fireball appeared in the sky and it was clearly heading towards Earth, people would get their phones out and film it rather than running for their lives to, you know.
I got the vibe of that people would do anything stupid or run head on into danger to get that viral clip.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what they were doing here. Remember, this was set in around 2006. So this is really going to be before the whole thing of social media. So there it was a paparazzi. But nowadays, you know, how many people are probably getting into scrapes because, you know, they're hanging off the edge of something? Or you see all these like parkour things, you know, and people getting real injured because they're trying to do crazy things, get famous. Very divisive episode. And like I said, I know a lot of people I was speaking to really didn't like it. I'm going to say it again. I know I've said it so much. I loved the vibe, the horror vibe of it. I loved the fact it went horror. And that was a note I had here that is technically described as the first Black Mirror episode to feature the supernatural kind of element and supernatural horror. And I really liked it. I really liked that.
Okay.
It was a good transformation scene as well, wasn't it? I think when she transformed.
Yes. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was well done.
I've got some Easter eggs, but before I do, was there anything else about the episode?
No, the only other one I've just read is you mentioned earlier about Supermassive Black Hole by Muse. It was obviously a brilliant song I like, but that's also used in Twilight as well, which is also about werewolves as well.
Yeah, yeah, I had that, but such a great song.
Yeah.
Such a great song. So we mentioned the Sea of Tranquility. You've mentioned the Supermassive Black Hole. No, that's not an Easter egg. That's just saying that it's celebrity culture, like 50 Million Merits and Rachel Jack and Ashley too. These two, however, though, there is a diner called The Quagmire appears, and that is the nightclub in San Junipero.
Okay.
That's the name of that too. And this one, I've got an Easter egg, but I've put my own spin on it as well. So the coffee shop that Bo and Hector work at, or the coffee shop Bo works at is called Yorkies, and Yorkie is the name of one of the leads in San Junipero. I think this diner, the coffee shop, should have been called Jones. That's what I think. I know it was set before Joan is Awful, but we know at the end of it, and you imagine, so then the Easter egg there is that Joan's gone international.
Yeah. And the thing is, it didn't need to be set in the past. So that could have worked, couldn't it? They could have set it in that era where they were kind of crossing into Joan's Diner. Of Jones Cafe.
Yeah, well. I don't know why they said it in the past. I wonder if it's just to make it purely before smartphones, etc.
I think they just wanted to put the iPod, not the iPod. Was it an iPod Shuffle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I reckon he just wanted to squeeze that in.
Yeah, so I think they missed a real thing there about not having Joan, especially as it is in the same season. So, okay. Anything else on the episode before we go to scores?
No, not for me.
So what is your score?
I think that I really enjoyed the first half. So I'd give the first half an 8. The second half, I really didn't like because it's ridiculous. So I'll give it a 4. So if I average it out, I'm going to give it a 6.
Do you know what? 6 is what I'm giving it as well.
What? After how much you've bigged up this episode, you're only going to give it a 6?
No. No, I'm going to give it a 6, but for the opposite reasons to you. I really liked the last bit, and I thought the first half wasn't done as well as it could have been. And so I'm saying for me, whereas you, the first half brought your average up. For me, it's the last half. The last bit brings the average up for me. So
I think you're incorrect, but we'll just agree to disagree.
Well, I'm going to cut that out. So. And actually, I'm gonna cut the in bit out, so it's gonna say you're correct. you're gonna make me say it again, but I think there's two good episodes in there, but both were poorly told.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so the final episode of the season, I believe, is called Demon 79.
It is
so
indeed,
we will review that next, and then we still got to look at Bandersnatch. So you and I will have a word about how we'll deal with that. Outside of that, catch us next time for the final episode of the current run of Black Mirror.
1, 2, 3, 4. If I want your opinion, I will give it to you. Come on, check what we've got, 'cause you need